what I've got, baby, don't show. Now I won't try to teach you how. Don't talk now. Don't talk rose. Don't talk sand. Don't talk dust.
Hello again and welcome to I've Got a Beatles Podcast. And you might have been surprised there. That was definitely not the Beatles singing that opening track. But instead, the subject of our next installment in our series, Apple Scruffs. This is Volume 2, and it goes to James Taylor.
Is it doubly bizarre to begin the episode with a song called Don't Talk Now?
Are you trying to tell us something here?
Despite
James Taylor telling us not to talk now, we're going to talk for this podcast about James Taylor's first album, which was recorded on Apple Records and released in 1968. And it's one that, of course, James Taylor has been a huge singer-songwriter for many, many years now. But I think this one really goes under the radar, and people forget the fact that he got his start at Apple Records with a Beatles connection.
How did James Taylor and the Beatles run into each other? What was the connection there?
One of those happenstance occasions here where James Taylor was getting a start and trying to make it in the business and ended up going to London. And the Beatles A&R man at the time, which is artists and repertoire, the guy who goes out and signs people for Apple Records, was Peter Asher. And longtime Beatle fans and diehards would know that Peter Asher was a member of the group Peter and Gordon, who had a couple of big hits in the 60s, including their most famous one was a Paul McCartney song, A World Without Love.
Yeah,
so that's a pretty good song. But Peter Asher, they broke up, and he still was friends with Paul. And somebody said, oh, listen to this guy James Taylor, he's American, and check out his music. And so Peter Asher went out and heard James, met him. They talked on the phone. They met in person. And immediately he was like, oh, you got to sign this guy. He's going to be big. He's going to make it. And so Paul McCartney was pretty impressed with him, too. And next thing you know, he's at Trident Studios in London during the summer and fall of 1968, recording this particular album.
That's about the time of the White Album.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the funny thing is that he was there and got to meet the Beatles during the White Album sessions and actually use some of their time, their unused studio time, to go in and make this album. So it's a Peter Asher production, and it probably should be a little more famous because there are two songs that we'll talk about and get into that are big James Taylor hits that later became really famous hits. But they got their start on this particular album, which has a quirky kind of vibe to it.
Well, partially because they brought in an arranger, Richard Hewson. And if you don't know who Richard Hewson is...
Yes, who is Richard Hewson?
You've been sleeping because he worked with musicians such as the Beatles... if you're familiar with Across the Universe, I Me Mine, Long and Winding Road, those are some of the arrangements he did.
That's not bad.
Yeah. The Bee Gees, worked with Herbie Hancock, but the best one, my favorite, I'm sure we're going to do a full episode on, Thrillington.
Oh, yes. Did he arrange? He arranged Thrillington, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which, if you don't know what Thrillington is, what is Thrillington?
Thrillington is an all classical music version of Ram, basically.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Which I know you spin a lot.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I jam down to Thrillington.
Exactly.
So let's save that for the Thrillington episode.
Yeah, yeah. We don't want to get into that now. That's right.
We don't want to dive too deep.
No digressions.
Waste a good episode. So episode 433, Thrillington.
Yeah. when we're really out of ideas.
Yeah.
So yeah, this the impetus for this for deciding to review this one, apart from wanting to continue our series, which we started with Badfinger, was Chris and I were when he was visiting Kansas City, we were walking around near where I live, some record stores, and saw some of the Apple bands and Apple artists. We saw Billy Preston's albums. We saw Doris Troy.
Yeah.
And then we saw James Taylor's album, and I'd never owned it, so I got it. Got the original Apple release here, and I think it was also the cheapest of all of them too. So
yeah.
That was another reason.
Well, speaking of scruffs,
yes,
the cover of the album is James looking very scruffy
yes.
with some very long hair and mustache.
Yes, but he's wearing a dandy suit.
Yeah. He used to have a lot of hair. If you look at the picture, it's like, what happened, dude?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so yeah, the album cover just has it's a picture of him laying in the grass, kind of near a wall, and looking at the camera, kind of like a sort of what are you looking at? Kind of stare. But the album itself has, we're going to get into all the songs, but pretty unknown people on the album. His backing band, I've really never heard of any of these people here. We have George James Taylor on guitar, Peter Asher on percussion, Louis Chenamo on bass, Bishop O'Brien on drums, Don Shin and Freddie Redd on keyboards, Mick Wayne on guitar, and then a couple of guests that we'll talk about later.
Now, I don't know who Freddie Redd is, but he's got a great name.
And that's Freddie Redd. That's Red Fox, like with two D's too. So it's pretty great. Yeah. So yeah. So it's you want to tell us a little bit about this album, because it'll surprise you if you've never listened to it, because there's some kind of a unique feature that, I don't know if you want to get into it after we play something or.
Well, we could start just by talking how the album starts, which is with a track we heard and to begin the show, called Don't Talk Now. First thing you hear from James Taylor is some hard harpsichord.
Yeah, what's
very unexpected.
There's a lot of harpsichord on this album. I'm just wondering if, you know, what famous Beatles song has a classic harpsichord on it? Well, Piggies, which was recorded on the White Album, and I wonder if there was a harpsichord laying around Trident Studios that they just decided to, let's make more use of this harpsichord here.
Yeah.
Because there sure is a lot of harpsichord.
Oh, yeah, there's a harpsichord later. Again, yes. I was like, oh, more harpsy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Can't get enough.
I also found throughout the album, just a general note, that the bass is like really prominent and very, very good.
Yes.
So that bass player we never heard of is
Louis Chenamo. Yeah.
Pretty good. What do you think of Don't Talk Now?
Well, it's one of those, James Taylor likes these kind of bluesy songs that I think of, it's not quite as, you know, as overt as Steamroller or some of the other ones that he plays, but this still has kind of a blues flavor to it. I like the swing. It has kind of a waltz feel to it. I don't know, kind of generic lyrics, but it's okay. Catchy.
Yeah, I kind of like the simple lyrics mixed with the instrumentation on the first track. It struck me as like, oh, this is unique and something I didn't expect.
Yeah.
Another thing I didn't expect is it goes into an interlude.
Yes.
One of many interludes, which Richard Hewson obviously was sort of in charge of that. But some of them make sense to me and some of them don't. Well, here's one that doesn't, is the one in between tracks 1 and 2 goes into sort of Green Sleeves.
It is Green Sleeves,
For a little second.
Yeah.
What do you think of the interludes?
Yeah, so the whole album, I guess the intention was to make it continuous so that there's no break between tracks.
And, mm-hmm.
I think sometimes they work, sometimes they are a little over the top. And this one, it's James Taylor basically playing Greensleeves, and I don't really know what the meaning of it is, but it's kind of nice. He's a good guitar player. He always has been a good guitarist.
But yeah.
Do you know of any other albums that are like that, kind of, that go completely in one you know, direct, you know, there's no break at all?
Can't think any off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Maybe some of the Pink Floyd albums.
Oh, that would be a good
Dark Side of the Moon, I think.
Right.
Does that to some extent.
But those are actually together. Like more related to the, it's kind of like the next track coming in early or something, sort of.
Yeah, well, and this, what this does is it makes it sort of more of a chamber piece of music. You know, it's like these little vignettes that sometimes lead to the next song and sometimes don't. I don't know how I feel about it. I feel to some extent it seems like half concept album and half just singer-songwriter album playing simple songs.
Yeah.
And there's no real theme other than the outdoors and weather and sunshine and nighttime and different parts of the day.
Yeah.
Which isn't really that strong of a theme. So I'm a little confused by all of it. I think where it leaves me.
Yeah, and you're not alone, because that was one of the criticisms of the album by critics when it came out. Is they didn't really like the link idea, and it was overproduced kind of with that, like just a little grandiose for the guy's first album here. And maybe that's something you do after you've got a few albums out. But looking back, I read an interview with Peter Asher, and he said, "Oh yeah, well maybe we did overproduce it and we over orchestrated it back then, but you know that was the vibe we had, and James was into it, so that's what happened."
The next track, for example, Something's Wrong, it throws some oboe in there.
Yeah.
Throws some,
very orchestral.
Very orchestral.
But I like the way you put it, the chamber music. And for those who aren't classical musicians, chamber music is like a smaller ensemble, like a string quartet or just a few players, violin, piano, and flute or something, three instruments at a time, and that this has a really intimate feel that kind of is a little bit different. So I like this one. This also is a pretty good, catchy one, I think. Pretty.
Oh, I think Something's Wrong is one of the few times when all of that orchestration like really worked very well.
Yeah.
Some other places it doesn't, though.
No.
Including, in my opinion, the next track, which is titled Knocking Around the Zoo. Let's listen to it, including the intro.
Just a knocking around the zoo on a Thursday afternoon. There's bars on all the windows and they're counting up the spoon, babe. And if I'm feeling edgy, there's a chick who's paid to be my slave. Yeah, oh, watch out, James. But she'll hit me with a needle if she thinks I'm trying to misbehave. Yeah. Now the keeper's trying to cool me. Says I'm bound to be all right, but I know that he can't fool me, cause I'm putting him up tight, yeah. And
I can feel. Yeah, I didn't realize that. I just looked at the credits here. The string quartet, the intro to that one, was played by the Aeolian String Quartet, and they were actually a very well-known English string quartet that made a lot of recordings, so it definitely got good players on this to get things going. But what are your thoughts on Knocking Around the Zoo, or should I go first on this one?
Oh, you should go first.
Okay. Well, the lyrics are about James Taylor's struggles. He had kind of a rough go of it. He was in a mental hospital for a while, and he was also a heroin addict. And that went into the 70s, I think, for quite a while. He had a big drug problem. But
well, they said he didn't tour for this album because he was trying to dry out, and that it really killed sales for it.
Yeah, I can imagine. Know? And that's, yeah, you can see just the lyrics. He's kind of referring to that. He talks about there's a chick who's paid to be my slave, but she'll hit me with a needle if she thinks I'm trying to misbehave. So that probably...
Watch out, James.
Yeah, don't forget that. Yeah, so this is another one of those bluesy songs. And I don't know, maybe that's the issue here, is that James isn't really very bluesy.
Anytime he does these quick blues, these fast blues things, I don't like them very much. Particularly with the arrangement stuck on this one, it makes it sound like a like it's being played on a variety show or something, like a Sonny and Cher show or something of that nature.
Like intro music or something.
Yeah, and one of the lame aspects of James Taylor is when he tries to do "Ooh, watch out, James" and stuff like that. Like references himself as if he's cool. It's like no.
Watch out, James.
Watch out, James. So this one doesn't do it for me. I mean,
There's screen actually to simulate the mental hospital. Richard Hewson arranged some screams at the end of the song to kind of replicate that. So I guess he's trying for the authentic atmosphere of a hospital. But
yeah, I mean, I guess he's trying to make the whole hospital experience. But I think I don't know that it's very successful.
Yeah. Well, compare that to the next song, which is one of many that reference, as you said, the weather, and especially Sunshine. This one has a repetitive name of Sunshine, Sunshine, and features a harp, a very prominent harp on this one.
Yeah, I thought that the harp and the strings and the guitar on this one were fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's a very light... like a sweet song for your hippie children.
Yeah, it's very hippie-like.
Yeah.
This album kind of is pretty breezy, was the word I was thinking of, to go along with weather analogies here. But it's pretty breezy and light.
The next song right after it, Taking It In, is once again talking about the time of day and sunshine becomes a nighttime and that kind of...
You know? And even what he's eating.
Lyric. Bacon lie on that plate. And then there's a couple more lines, and then tell me the price of food.
Yes.
Those are lyrics of this song.
Yes, bacon lie on that plate. Black-eyed peas wait on the side. Gravy, chicken, and rice, isn't it nice? Tell me the price of food.
Dud.
I deem it dud.
Yeah. But I also was like, unless I was completely missing something, it just sounded like a repetitive, you know, this is where I think this album gets lost in between a theme and just sounding repetitive. Another song with some weather stuff in it.
Yeah, then same kind of sound, too.
Yeah, because later we'll get, coming up here pretty quick, we'll get a song that claims he's never up during the day. He's talking about sunshine, sunshine, a beautiful song towards sunshine.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he's, only stays up at midnight. Party gets going at midnight.
Which one is it, James? I don't know. Well, at least the next one is a big hit.
Yeah, well, the album redeems itself with a couple of great songs here, back to back.
Yeah,
So let's hear a little bit of the first one, which is strangely titled. We'll talk about the title.
Yeah. Might remind you of something else.
But it's called Something in the Way She Moves.
There's something in the way she moves, or looks my way, or calls my name, that seems to leave this troubled world behind. And if I'm feeling down and blue, or troubled by some foolish game, she always seems to make me change my mind. And I feel fine anytime she's around me now. She's around me now, almost all the time. And if I'm well, you can tell she's been with me now. She's been with me now quite a long, long time, and I feel fine. Every now and then the things I lean on, they're losing meaning, and I find myself careening into places where I should not let me go. No, she has the power to go where no one else can find.
Yeah, that, imagine what the album would have sounded like if it was all just acoustic like that.
Yeah, I know. It's just terrific.
Yeah.
It's a terrific. I mean, it must have been someone who bought the record up to this point being maybe a little on the fence about it. That must have just blown him away. I mean, it's an excellent song.
Yeah.
It's a very strange progression here,
mm-hmm.
with this song. Because Taylor has acknowledged that the ending of Something in the Way She Moves was basically taken from the Beatles song I Feel Fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they almost titled it I Feel Fine, and then they were like, we can't do that. So they titled it Something in the Way She Moves. George Harrison listens to it, loves it so much, that he takes that line for inspiration for his song Something.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
It's
great that they were just like, nobody got mad about that, you know?
No, now you'd get sued for it.
Yeah,
tried that.
Perhaps George it gave George a bad habit.
Yeah, good one. Yeah, it's a great. It's a classic. I like the re-recording that he did later in the 70s too. It sounds nice.
Well, you know, the probably the versions of these that people are most familiar with, of Something in the Way She Moves and this next song, which we'll play for you, called Carolina in My Mind. The versions that people are most familiar with are from the Greatest Hits album.
Yep.
That was released in 1976, a big smash hit, one of the highest selling Greatest Hits albums, I'm sure. But he had to re-record both of them due to rights issues because Apple was such a nightmare of a mess at that point, he had to re-record them, you know, which is done quite often by stars when they've changed labels and they don't really, for some reason, there's a contract hold up and they can't, do it. But, so you might not have heard some of these two versions of these songs. Carolina in My Mind, I think, is quite different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we'll hear that right now and then talk about it.
In my mind, I'm gone to Carolina. Can't you see the sunshine? Now can't you just feel the moonshine? And ain't it just like a friend of mine to hit me from behind? Yes, I'm gone to Carolina in my mind. Karen, she's a silver sun. You best walk her away and watch it shine. Watch her watch the morning come. A silver tear appearing, now I'm crying, ain't I? I'm gone to Carolina in my mind. There ain't no doubt in no one's mind that love's the finest thing around. Whisper
something. Yeah, wow. That is very different than the other more commercial version. It's got, well, obviously a lot more orchestrated, and the introduction is quite different with the instrumentation, and the background vocals on that one are really prominent. It's background vocals. I can actually kind of detect Peter Asher's voice, is what it says on the recording here. But there's also there are some guests on this. Well, there's definitely one guest and perhaps a second one. You want to tell us who might be on this one?
Well, guitar, vocals, and Fender bass jazz bass from one Mr. Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
On there.
Yeah.
So you can pretty
kind
good.
Of, you can kind of tell his bass sound.
Yeah.
It's got that White Album sound. I was just thinking it sounded a little bit like Hey Bungalow Bill, the bass sound on the White Album. It's very, got that same kind of thump to it.
Yeah, before I even looked it up and figured out it was him, I had written a note, wonderful, love the bass.
Yes.
Great lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
These two songs are the big winners.
Definitely, yeah.
but there's other rumors about a possible other guest on this.
Yes, so there's a disagreement between Peter Asher and James Taylor. Peter Asher does not remember this person guesting on background vocals, but James Taylor swears that Sir Paul's bandmate, George Harrison, is on background vocals, but he's not credited on the album, and it's a little hard to tell because the vocals are really, I don't know, they're mixed in a funny way, so I don't know, I can't really tell myself.
Yeah, really, they sound like female vocals.
That's right, they're so high. Yeah,
so it's very difficult, yeah. Very strange. That song is followed by Brighten Your Light With My Day. Once again, we're into daybreak, nighttime stuff again. But I thought that particular song fit best with the whole vibe of the the chamber music arrangements.
Yeah, it's nice. I
felt like it was the most part of the song.
Mm-hmm.
Later in the album, there's one where it doesn't fit at all. It's like a terrible idea. But here I feel like the song and that fit together just perfectly.
Yeah, I like this one too. And it's got kind of a nice lyric, pretty simple, but very straightforward lyrics here. Like, it's just a nice love song. Please come back home to me. Now you won't have to say that you'll stay with me, baby. It's not that way. Just come back home to me. Throw that worried look away and brighten your night with my day. So, you know, nice sort of sentiment.
Yeah, pretty good song.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
I like it.
Two for two on side two here.
Yeah. Guess what?
Yeah.
That'll come crashing down with Night Owl.
Night Owl, yes.
I'm going to straight up call baloney on James Taylor here.
Oh.
Because he's claiming that he's a night owl. There's no way James Taylor goes to bed at like 8:30, right?
I would think so, especially back then. Well, he was probably too, the heroin wasn't helping here. I don't...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Additionally, the whole album, he's been singing about the sunshine and daytime and how the beautiful sunshine. But he's here, it's like, I sleep all day, go out at night and all this stuff. It's a crappy blues song.
Yes, very repetitive lyrics. He just keeps talking about it.
Yeah, there's way too much on the horns on this one. In fact, it starts like a 60s game show theme. So I gotta say, Night Owl dud.
Is this the biggest dud so far, or was?
Oh, Night Owl's the biggest. I don't know. There's Night Owl.
Taking it in.
Knocking Around the Zoo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
Night Owl's probably the biggest dud on the album.
Just too cluttered. Too much going on that one.
Too much going on.
The next one is one that James Taylor still plays or has played in recent years, And I think we're going to play it here.
There's more weather on this one.
More weather, yeah. But this time, no more sun, because the sun has been taken away, and we're left with a rainy day man.
What good is that happy life? All you wanted from the start was to cry, girl. It looks like another fall. Your friends, they don't seem to help at all. Now when you're feeling kind of cold and small, just look up your rainy day man. It does you no good to pretend, child. You made a hole much too big to mend.
And it looks like... That is like quintessential James Taylor, isn't it? It's like every song he's written.
Yeah, I was just thinking how classic that sounds. Like classic James Taylor.
Yep.
Great song.
Yeah,
Background vocals probably are the best of the album on that. It reminds me a bit of the just the sound of it reminds me of that Rodriguez album.
Oh,
if you've seen that, that documentary about Rodriguez,
mm-hmm.
And the song Sugar Man. I'm sure
Sugar Man. Right. Heard.
And this arrangement of this and this little portion of the album reminded me so much of that. You know, good arrangement, kept it simple for a change.
That's the thing, yeah. It's not overdone. In fact, there's no Richard Hewson at all on this one. So no brass or strings or anything. It's just a rock combo or folk rock combo. So I think that, it's got more of a cleanness to it than some of the other tunes. So I like it too.
Great.
Yeah.
Rainy Day Man's followed by the traditional Circle Around the Sun, arranged by James Taylor, obviously.
Yes.
Some more sun.
More sun.
More sun for you.
Yeah.
So. Wait, I didn't think you knew anything about the sun because you were a night owl, baby.
Well, he's back to being a sunny guy here. I lay down last night just trying to take my rest. But my thoughts, they just keep wandering like the wild geese in the west. Now I know that sunrise is going to shine in my backyard someday. And the wind, it will rise up and blow my blues away.
This song, I thought, was the best example of the stretch of his voice. It really gets up in the upper register. And it also is the most emotional. It becomes sort of semi-epic at the
end. It builds, yeah.
Yeah, so I thought that element of it was excellent.
Yeah.
The lyrics and whether or not to do a traditional, it's like, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
but then, like you said, the arrangement actually works here, I think, too. It's not overpowering him because his voice grows and he really, brings it towards the end of the song.
Now, this album closes with a song called Blues Is Just a Bad Dream. And it could have been called This Is Just a Bad Arrangement. Because first you start with JT doing old blues.
When did he become such a blues guy? This is Sweet Baby James here.
He's doing a little blues, and then in comes this orchestra. completely the wrong vibe for this.
Yeah. Kills
it. It sounds, it just doesn't fit.
No.
At all. It's very bizarre. Mm-hmm. So by the time you get to that part of the record, you know, walk over the record player and put something else on.
Which I did. Yeah, it was kind of a weak closer. I probably should have switched it with, Circle Around the Sun isn't maybe a closer necessarily, but something a little different would have benefited there. But it is what it is. There the CD re-release in 2010, all the Apple albums, or most of the Apple albums, were re-released on CD, had four bonus tracks, and had here's another one for you. It was a song called Sunny Skies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so the demo of that, Let Me Ride, Sunshine, Sunshine demo, and then an acoustic demo of Carolina in My Mind as well. So the reviewer I read said, oh, that actually, those two would have given you a good sense of what the album would have been like if they didn't have all the orchestration and the production. If it was just acoustic album, it probably would have been even better. So,
yeah.
But, you know, think about it. So this was released December 6th, 1968. So we're talking, you know, the Beatles were doing the White Album. Bob Dylan was doing John Wesley Harding at that, you know, sort of the basement tapes, kind of acoustic based stuff. So things were, you know, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, their first album was coming out then, or shortly thereafter. So there was this push for more of an acoustic singer-songwriter vibe. And
yeah,
James Taylor was right in on that.
Well, and it's an interesting album to listen to set up what would be a pretty prolific decade for James Taylor, where he released eight albums.
Wow.
Yeah, eight albums in the 70s, and then since then has only released 1, 2, 3, 4, 7 albums.
Yeah.
So, of course, all of his big, gigantic hits, Fire and Rain, You've Got a Friend.
Yeah. And that was that was on the next album. There's one right after this was Sweet Baby James, which was the, that really broke him into the big mainstream.
Definitely a good guy to get into the Apple label. Signing him was a great idea. Maybe they made some mistakes in the recording of it, and maybe, you know, James probably didn't help himself out with his drug use.
No. no, they never
but,
do.
overall, what rating would you give this up?
This is one that at first I was kind of turned off, even though I'm a classical musician, I was a little turned off by the overuse of classical and the arrangement, the orchestration. But I have to say it grew on me quite a bit this week as I was really listening to it a lot. And so I'd probably give it a 7 out of 10 maybe.
You know, I was set in my mind myself that I was going to give it like a 5. Because all the too much weather stuff, too much sunshiny.
Repetitive, yeah.
It's like a 10% too much Sesame Street in there.
Yeah.
But I really, really like several of the songs on the album. It's hard to deny, so I'll go 6. Probably wouldn't spin it too often.
Yeah.
But maybe on a nice, warm, sunny day.
Yes.
You're having a cup of lemonade in the backyard. The kids are out there.
Put on some sunshine.
Put on a nice, mellow Taylor.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's interesting. And as we say, you know, these Apple Scruffs albums are still part of the Beatles story because the Beatles found something in all of the acts that they signed. And so far, I'd say we're 2 for 2. They did pretty well with Badfinger and James Taylor, getting two big success stories out of Apple.
I think we should go out with Brighten Your Night with My Day.
Okay.
So we can hear some of this arrangement again. Before that, we want to tell you our very next episode is going to be our 50th episode.
Number 50.
Yeah. And we'll reveal the winner of our little, not really a contest, but you guys suggested some topics for our 50th show, so we're going to do one of those for our 50th. We haven't quite chosen it.
No,
yet.
We've got a great, very tough list, actually, because every one of them is a good, almost every one is something that we could do, or if at the very least, if we don't pick one that you suggested, we'll keep them and for future ideas, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And we've got a lot of great stuff coming up later this year, too, including our famous gifts. Oh, there's so many gifts
this
year.
Oh, it's unbelievable. You get ready to go into foreclosure and sell, mortgage your house and everything to get all this stuff this year.
Yeah. So
yeah, it's going to be fun. So yeah, well, it's been interesting, and go pick up or download James Taylor's self-titled or eponymous first album, and let us know what you think on our Facebook page. And we'll go out today by listening to
Brighten Your Night with My Day.
My Day. All right.
Daybreak finds you up and alive, just as though you could touch a star. The sunset seems to leave you weary, alone and wondering who you are. Don't deny that lonely feeling, babe, that keeps stealing on you from deep down inside. Hey, can't you see that it's no good concealing a feeling? It hurts you to hide when you can come home to me. Yes, I'm happy to hear what you got to say to me, babe, all the way. Girl, you can count on me. Watch those shadows fade away and brighten your night with my day. Daybreak, sunset, hot and cold, running smiles and tears. A bright outside to match your foolish pride, but not a word for the lonely years. Please come back home to me. Now you won't have to say that you'll stay with me, baby. No, it's not that way. Just come back home to me. Watch those shadows fade away and brighten your night with my daybreak sun. Everything's gonna be just fine. Watch out, baby.